Hello and welcome to the Argidias podcast, where we explore the topics that matter most for entrepreneurs in developing economies. I'm Angela Robson, and this is episode number one, where we address the issue of financial support for small and medium enterprises, better known as SMEs.
I think it's important to remember that we are going to witness the apparition of about 420 million young people on the labor market from now up to 2050, and probably only half of them will access formal jobs in the private and the public sector.
That's Jean-Michel Severino, a French banker with a particular interest in sustainable development. Since 2011, he's been CEO of an investment group called INP. Since he joined INP, Jean-Michel has given his attention to the field of impact investing to support the growth of SMEs in sub-Saharan Africa.
Therefore, there's a need for accelerating growth, but also formalizing jobs and increasing the content of jobs in the African economy. And all that you can contribute to achieve by allowing a more rapid expansion of SMEs and startups. Most of the African firms that will be there in 2050 still do not exist. And we have to accelerate their birth, diminish their failure rate in the first years of their life, and accelerate their expansion.
Small and medium enterprises, SMEs, are crucial to the success of any economy. They represent a significant portion of businesses around the world. They contribute to job creation, innovation, and economic growth. So how do SMEs begin to nudge a country from low to middle income status? Nicholas Koloff is the director of the Argidias Foundation.
Several years ago, I think it was the IFC who coined this phrase, the missing middle, which suggested that small and medium enterprises didn't have the kind of access to finance that larger commercial businesses had, or indeed micro businesses had, for all the work that had been done on financial inclusion.
The missing middle referred to by Nicholas, which is the gap between the smallest and largest businesses, can be detrimental to the overall economic health of the economy.
15 years later, you thought that the missing middle might have disappeared. And in fact, it's probably grown in size rather than reduced in size. When they coined the phrase missing middle, it was meant to be, look, there's an opportunity here for organizations to identify new products, new ways of investing. There's a whole market that's a missed opportunity for financial institutions. The problem is that over time, now one just begins to think that the missing middle is simply missing. Perhaps it's not there. Perhaps these SMEs don't really exist. There isn't really a pipeline. Well, in point of fact, they are there and they do need finance. And there are slowly good examples of either existing institutions developing new products better fitted for this segment of the marketplace, or indeed new institutions that are experimenting with new products and trying to address this significant gap, and turning a kind of missing middle into a transforming middle, transforming the individual SMEs themselves, but also recognizing that no country has made the leap from low-income status to middle-income status without building a significant number of productive, growing, small and medium enterprises generating good quality, productive jobs. So unless we crack this problem, this challenge and real opportunity, we're not going to make significant development progress.
Nicholas, what is the impact of the missing middle on SMEs?
So the impact is that they have to bootstrap their own development and growth. So if they want to invest in new equipment, in new products, if they want to employ new staff, if they want to meet the demand that they can often recognize, they don't have access to the right kinds of financial product to help them do that. So you can go into, as I did in Kampala earlier this year, and three or four businesses, and you ask the question, do you have more demand than you can supply? And in each case, the answer was yes. So I said, well, what's the problem? And the problem was twofold. One is often you wanted to invest in a new piece of equipment, which would enable you to produce more and meet that demand. And you probably also needed working capital to help you buy inventory and respond to that demand. And neither, and you were too large now to go to a microfinance institution. So the kinds of loans that they were offering are either too expensive and also too small. But you can't go to a bank because you don't have the right collateral. You perhaps don't have the right track record to meet the credit risk demands of the bank. So where do you go? Well, you probably don't go anywhere, and so you just paused. You might not be shrinking as a business, but you're certainly not growing as a business, and you're not professionalizing as a business because you're not being able to invest in the right kind of thing. So if you multiply those businesses by hundreds and possibly thousands in any particular country or particular context, you can see how this is a real opportunity, but it's also a real challenge, and we shouldn't underestimate the challenge.
Marnix Mulder is an impact investing professional. With over 20 years' experience, he's in charge of market development activities for the organisation Triple Jump. He also oversees the seed capital and business development programme for the Dutch Good Growth Fund. One of the aims of this programme is to improve access to finance for the missing middle by providing early-stage financing and business development support.
There's no missing middle. There's actually multiple missing middles. And understanding very profoundly which missing middle specifically you want to target is critical, actually, to find the best financial solutions that are appropriate and actually provide the right services to these entrepreneurs.
At Triple Jump, Marnix has helped to support the growth of financial organizations in countries such as Peru, Kenya, and Cambodia. I asked Marnix to give us a bit more detail about his work.
I'm actually working now since 2008 in the field of impact investing. It's really about intentionally trying to do good, achieve social impact in addition to financial returns. And in general, I'm very passionate about supporting the scale-up of impact investing. I really believe it's a critical and principal instrument in helping to close the finance gaps to solve global challenges to help us achieve the sustainable development goals. We also operate in the field of SME finance, and particularly through a fund called the Dutch Good Growth Fund. The Dutch Good Growth Fund was commissioned by the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 2014, and it aims to improve access to finance for the so-called missing middle. And particularly, we aim to support young entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs in fragile states. We've realized we need to actually help building or fostering, nurturing financial ecosystems that are inclusive and that are diversified and that offer a range of services and channels. We still have banks, fintech, microfinance organizations. We're now investing heavily in first-time fund managers, venture capital, private equity, mezzanine finance players, but also more supply chain actors, leasing, factoring, reverse factoring. So it's not one single silver bullet.
Manik, some solutions are more inclusive and scalable than others. Can you tell us a little bit more what you've found in the work you've done?
Yeah, so speaking about scalability, I think scalability depends on a number of factors. One, there needs to be sufficient demand. Second, you need to have a business model that is commercially viable. The more return it can generate, the more easy it will be to find finance and investors that are interested. And of course, you need to be able to scale it on an operational basis. And as such, you see that a couple of the finance solutions are highly scalable. We see now, particularly through the digitization of the sector, both on the financial services side, but also particularly on the companies that are tech-enabled or pure tech, that the scalability has significantly increased. And as such, we also see the emergence of venture capital as being a very successful instrument. It's not easy to deploy. Particularly, one of the challenges of companies when they grow is actually to manage their supply chains. It's for venture capital companies. It's very challenging to make exits and actually realize the money multiples that they hope to harvest. But still, we do think it's one to stay and one that's very powerful. We also see that actually in order to invest in companies, they need to be generated. It needs to be pipelined. And for that, as such, you need some sort of an early stage ecosystem, an interplay of accelerators and incubators and angel investors, and that is more difficult to scale.
How positive do you feel about the future in this sphere?
Well, I'm an optimist by nature, but I must say that of course the global challenges have not come less in recent years. At the same time, you often see that, and that's my optimistic nature, is that a crisis often also can forge change. And that's what we need. We need change. And I think that impact investing is one of those instruments that can help to provoke this change in a positive way.
Jean-Michel Severino from IMP believes that a much more favorable ecosystem towards SME growth is needed, both at a country level and globally.
The global task is to build in each country and at the level of the continent a favorable, positive ecosystem. Small businesses and startups do not need just a single instrument. They need a scope of instruments. That they need a good institutional framework and legal system. They need incubators. They need accelerators. They need banks. They need investment firms, etc. So what is probably lacking in most countries and definitely in the international community is this kind of global approach to the challenge. Many actors or governments either, are not interested in this challenge or do not realize how important it is, or focus on one specific instrument and activity, thinking that they have found the magic instrument that would solve all the issues of the promotion of startups and SMEs in their countries, continent. So this is really about creating this ecosystem, and the work that we do ourselves in INP is only one part of this global task. So we are one of the players, one of the instruments that occupies a certain niche in this ecosystem.
Helping pioneer new approaches to making the famed missing middle of SME finance more readily accessible is clearly the way forwards. Since 2020, Argidius has supported Women's World Banking in a three-year project to provide technical assistance to Kenya Commercial Bank, KCB, to improve their services to SMEs. This project has allowed the bank to build strong relationships with SMEs for the first time, especially women-led businesses.
My name is Naomi Dele, and I am the head of SME Banking and Agribusiness at KCB Bank, Kenya. Within the SME segment of businesses, definitely there are a myriad of challenges. And of course, access to credit is one of them. And this is really mainly due to various requirements that we financial institutions require that these entities provide before we can offer them the credit that they need. SMEs are also deemed very risky because with every slight environmental shock, then their businesses are affected. And this was very clear during COVID. Businesses were not able to sustain themselves during that period. We also have shocks during elections. So the political environment contributes to these environmental shocks. Within the agriculture sector, the weather and the climate conditions very so often affect the businesses within the sector. One of the key challenges is the requirement to provide collateral, where they're asked to provide some form of security as part of the loan that they would require to borrow from the bank. And this is a very critical, one of the main challenges, especially for women MSMEs, because from where I sit and within the culture that we come from, a lot of the women do not have any form of collateral which they can use as part of the borrowing.
Working alongside Argidius and Women's World Banking, KCB Bank has introduced a more accessible SME financing product.
So as a result of this, we have been able to come up with a very specific customer value proposition for women. We call it the FLAME proposition. FLAME here stands for female-led and made enterprises, so FLME. And under the FLAME, interventions are, as I said, where we are offering cash flow lending to the women. We are also offering unsecured lending. We have been able to provide for them a relationship manager to assist them with their banking needs. And most importantly, we have the non-financial arm, which the women are able to get knowledge and information through workshops and webinars. We have created that safe space where the women can interact and, you know, just share how to do, how they have done their businesses. And as a result, the women are able to mentor and coach each other and, you know, just grow their businesses based on what they have learned from other more experienced women. And through this, we have been able to disburse loans over the last 6 years of equivalent to 116 billion Kenya shillings. We have been able to lend to more women. Before we started this fleeing proposition, only 9% of the women entrepreneurs were borrowing. As we speak, that number has grown to 22%. So there is definitely more women borrowing. Also, the Net Promoter Score has grown tremendously. Before we started these interventions, it was at a low of -2. Currently, we are at 62%. And so this just goes to evidence that the interventions are working. There's advocacy from the customers because indeed it is impacting their lives and they're able to even grow. More women can borrow, and we've seen some even come for the second loan. So it is not just one loan that to just support a small activity. They've been able to come back for bigger, longer term loans because of this intervention.
So how do you feel as a woman working in banking, seeing the impact of this?
It's very satisfying. It has given women an opportunity to build business confidently. A lot of them didn't have that confidence to even engage and, you know, even go for large tenders with the government. So we've seen a lot of the women entrepreneurs grow as individuals and as businesses. So it is really satisfying, very gratifying, even to see the number of women borrowers grow almost 200% and enabling that progress.
Getting a bank like KCB to think about a cash flow-based lending product and making it more accessible to women entrepreneurs is a very encouraging step forwards, says Nicholas Koloff from Argidius.
In the case of KCB, the product they designed, their first cash flow-based, relationship-based, non-collateralized lending product, has now gotten to 612,000 customers at about $4 billion. And it's their second most profitable product in the bank. So there's no reason why they shouldn't do this. So it's not impossible to solve these challenges. It's hard, and we need more people doing it.
Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of the Argidius podcast, Access to Finance. We've had an array of information and opinions from our guests, Jean-Michel Severino, Nicholas Koloff, Monix Mulder, and Naomi Ndele. We've explored how to make the missing middle the transforming middle, to unleash the true potential of SMEs, to create employment in low-income communities, and move a country's needle from low to middle-income status. In our next podcast, we'll be focusing on the issue of standards. We'd love you to join us again. Until then, goodbye.